Welcome to today's episode of CLCI Live, brought to you by the award-winning and ICF-accredited school, Certified Life Coach Institute. Sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome.
Hello.
Coach Institute. I feel like I have to give the introduction since I'm big.
You are big, so you have to. You have to.
That's
your duty.
Hello, everybody in Facebook, YouTube land. Thank you for coming to Certified Life Coach Institute. Be sure to participate as well. We love to hear your comments and feedback, and we will interact with you. Am I forgetting anything?
Also, make sure that you subscribe. Make sure you
share.
Join the share. Spread the news about what we're doing here.
Put this.
Myself
TV in your house so everyone can see.
Yeah, help. I'm out of focus and I don't like it.
Yeah, you're messing with those settings.
Well, I stopped. Now that we're done with that.
Yeah. What are we talking about today?
Somebody else. Well, I fixed my
screen. Jerome, what are we talking about today?
You caught me mid-share. We are talking about productive procrastination, productive procrastinating, whether procrastinating is something that you can use to your benefit when it comes to completing tasks, or whether procrastinating is a terrible thing and it should never be committed. So I think we should probably start off by kind of giving our opinion on what procrastinating means. So I'll open the floor to you guys. As far as your opinions are concerned, what might they be?
Or maybe even personal experience about procrastinating.
I know in school, like in high school, I procrastinated all the time.
Only in school.
Well, that's when it like first became apparent that it was a problem. Like high school, middle school, like I'd get an assignment and there'd be a due date like on the end of the week, Friday, and I'd wait till the last minute to do it. And that was, I just kept on putting it off, or not even really setting time aside to do it in the first place. I'd just wait till the last possible second. And sometimes I wouldn't even do it. And then I would get an F on the assignment, and then I had to become a life coach.
Somebody else needs to go big, because this big one over here is coconuts.
I can go both ways when it comes to procrastinating. Like, I can be very, so for me, procrastinating is putting things off. It's like, you know, you have two options. You can hop on top of something and just start doing it, be ahead of the game and get it done early, and like in the span, something to do in 3 weeks, but I'll have it done at week two, and then I got this whole extra week to just sort of do whatever I want, not stress about it. Procrastinating Brooke will wait until the day before, and then possibly get it done, hopefully, and then if not, see if there's a way to push back the deadline. So that's what it is for me. Definitely something I have been great at and also terrible at. I like the term precrastinating, which which is not something I had heard of before. Of somebody who is a precrastinator. What do you think precrastinating is?
So isn't it when someone just dives in and gets it all done, start to finish, just boom, just does it?
Yeah, they get anxious about it, so they almost do it too soon. They're like, I'm gonna do it right this minute, I'm gonna get it all done, get it off the plate, and which, come to find out, can also not always be, when we start to talk about the benefits, because so the idea too, I think maybe we should even introduce what our productivity 101 is. We're doing, for the next several weeks, we're going to be doing topics that have to do with productivity and being productive, but possibly not in a conventional way. Possibly, so last week we did productive complaining, and this week we're going to talk about productive procrastination. So we in the Productivity 101, we're going to sort of try to introduce, because we've heard all of those other productive tools. We've been inundated with the, you know, get organized, the don't procrastinate. So now we're going to sort of try to look at how we can be productive through lenses. And this week's lens is, can we make procrastination a productive thing? So are you guys procrastinators or precrastinators? Or would you even label yourself as one or the other? Because maybe that's a dangerous thing. But if you had to fall on one side, which side would you fall on?
I think I can be on the pro side.
Oh, there you go. Any explanation as to why, Jen? Or why you think that?
Because there's something about when I decide that I think something is boring or not exciting or not, you know, something I don't really want to do, I wait until the very last minute, put all this pressure on it, and then I just kind of make it like fun. So I create excitement around a non-exciting event, such as like renewing my license, something like that, you know, like I have to literally generate some sort of energy around something that is just not interesting to me. So I have learned that I actually use it for good. Of course, sometimes it can be problematic, but I do utilize it as like a tool to really jolt me into action and, again, create some sort of excitement around whatever it is.
Yeah.
Go on, Lisa.
I think I do procrastination when it's not important and procrastination when it's a bigger impact. It's driving. Okay, it's gone. So I think I do both. I know you asked the question, which side do I fall on? I think it just depends on the importance to me. Like, you know, hate taxes, I mean, was really a long process and I waited and waited. I mean, long story short, I definitely procrastinated there. I had my reasons, but I definitely wasn't on top of it as I've been in the history of me and taxes, where small things, I feel like if I don't jump on them right away, I'm going to forget. So I want to get them handled and out and done.
I think I've noticed now in kind of what I do, there's like a hyper planning procrastination, or like a tool procrastination, where there'll be like a goal or something that could be done in like maybe, I don't know, a few hours worth of time, whatever. I will spend so much time finding the right tool or software to solve a problem or create an overcomplicated set of like plans or processes to like make it more efficient, where it would have been just efficient to just do it in the simplest way possible. Jen, you have firsthand experience of seeing this. Brooke, so do you. Trying to overcomplicate something and then end up just like wasting time by doing that.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I think you're just adding the word crastination to other words, really.
Yeah, I am. It's a way that I notice that I procrastinate on something is that I'll overplan complexify like the problem or the solution to it, and then I don't end up doing it.
So you're sharing examples of symptoms of your procrastination, let's say. But I want to ask you guys, why do you procrastinate? What is it that makes you procrastinate on one thing and not on another? If you had to put your finger on it.
I think I have an answer for that. Number one, For me, if it comes to procrastination, it would be lack of energy. That's something that could compel me to push it back until I find some energy out of nowhere or I find the motive to do it. And then I would also say my familiarity with something also is going to be probably a factor in whether or not I procrastinate or not, because I know if I'm unfamiliar with it, I'm going to have to spend potentially a scary amount of time figuring out how to do what it is that I need to do.
So before we go anywhere with this, I want you to stay right where you're at. Don't make me big.
I'm big.
Your first part, you said that you procrastinate because you maybe don't have the energy. Do you do other things in that time?
Yeah, mundane tasks that don't require a lot of really thought power or energy to complete.
So that part ties into the second part, which is this scary amount of energy. Tell me about that scary bit.
Sometimes it's scary to complete, at least for me it is, complete tasks that I'm not familiar with, things I haven't done before, because I could potentially mess those things up. I don't want to mess anything up. I don't want to break anything. I don't want to, if it's maybe a group task or something like that, I don't want to embarrass myself. Those are all reasons why I would want to halt on getting something done immediately.
So it's
Rome, how's that bit warden coming along?
Hey, we'll talk about that tomorrow at meeting. No time for that.
It's interesting because there is a big emotional tie to the reasons we procrastinate. Like there is a big, whether we want to admit it or not, there's a couple of reasons that we procrastinate. A lot of times there's an emotional reason, and it could be fear. It could be a number of things. The other reasons that they say we procrastinate is that we are not capable of regulating sort of that emotional part of us, that like that impulse emotion bit of us. So if we get scared or whatever, we put it off and we go do other things that are easy and don't require any kind of taxing from us emotionally or thought process. And we're not, it's a very short-term kind of thinking process, but there might be a tremendous benefit to it as well.
I think there's a simpler way to put it though. It's people procrastinate on things because they don't want to do whatever thing it is. I can't think of something that I've wanted to do.
Oh, I have.
Also procrastinated on.
All kinds of things. Okay, writing, Anthony. Mm-hmm.
I think it's very, I want to have written something, but the task of writing, I don't want to do that.
Oh my God.
I can very clearly say there have been, I want whatever goal comes from a task, sure, I want that. But I don't want to do the task at hand. And if I wanted to do the task at hand, I wouldn't procrastinate. I would do it because I enjoyed doing it.
There's lots of things that I want to do, but I will put it off. And like right now, I mean, there's a couple trainings that I need to read some things on, and I'm excited to read them, but I'm not doing it like right this moment. I'm not, why am I not doing it right this moment? Not because I'm not excited or it's not something that I don't want to do. Part of the reason I'm doing it is because I don't want to overwhelm myself, and I've got this X, Y, and Z going on, so I'm willing to put this here and sort of do a little bit of away.
Where do you draw the line between procrastinating and just proper planning? And
well, that's the other thing, is I haven't exactly set a deadline.
So. Yeah, I don't know if that's procrastinating.
Feels like it to me, though. Feels like I should have already been.
Well, I think what you're describing too is, you know, you have to have different attention for that task. But in procrastination is if we haven't set a timeline when we're going to attain that, that's where that comes in. Something that Jerome was saying a few moments ago, you know, scary. Sometimes it can be scary. Like we're trying to change to a different system. And in that change, it's new, it's computer related, it's so there's some fears attached to that. because that's overthinking. I know for me, once I get into that space where I'm creating that attention, I'll get through it because I typically am pretty fine on those things once I create that space. But getting over that hump needs to have special attention. When do you give it that special attention, and how do you know when that's appropriate? Do you just schedule it, or do you just like random?
Well, definitely scheduling is important for me. Like going, okay, this is going to happen at this time or what have you. I think that having a wide view, so I think this is where the benefits a bit of procrastinating comes in, because there are often, even with us as a company, there are projects that like we're not working on right away that I know have been sort of on the back burner for a little while, but I feel like there's this feeling of needing to see things in a long view, in a wide view, and placing it's about timing. And it's also sometimes about like the right things, being in the right place, and thinking about it and sort of allowing some breathing room to process what's going to have to happen before you start to really set the wheels into motion.
So kind of a mindset is what you're describing.
I think it's a mindset. And it's also like this, like, you know, I'm putting the plan in place here before I put it out there. And sometimes I almost feel like it's subconscious. Like, and then it's like things all go click, click, click. And then I go, oh, this is, let's do it. This is the time. Sometimes there's external forces that force me to sort of stop procrastinating and just do. I'll also tell you, as a creative, as somebody who is a writer, as somebody who is a painter, is worked in a lot of creative spaces, sometimes I have been the most creative and productive when I am under the gun.
Yeah.
Because like I don't have the option to second guess and overthink myself.
Yeah.
So I am like, when there's that pressure there, I'm able to perform, or even better, because I'm not getting lost in minutia. Mm-hmm. I am like, okay, I've got to do it. So it keeps me in this laser focused sort of headspace, and I cut the fat quickly. Whereas if I have all this time in the world, I have all this time to get lost in things that don't really matter, or to doubt, I can guess myself, or to doubt my choices. And so sometimes having no choice or time to doubt what I'm doing makes me the most productive and successful. Like, I think of like with COVID, we were forced to make like lightning fast, and we had to just make decisions, and like we had to make decisions and live with them. There was not a lot of time for us to wonder, what was this the right or wrong choice? It was like, well, this is the choice we're going with, and we will circle back and make changes as we need. And it was this sort of forced pressure, but we made a diamond out of it. And that could not have happened without that pressure. I think because we had talked about going virtual, we had talked that like that had been something we sort of like thought about and toyed around and but then when we were given no other option, we're like, okay, let's figure it out. So it's interesting. That's where that procrastination, I think, can be really powerful.
I've had many clients talk about, you know, their procrastination, and part of it is for perfectionism. But the other side of it, like you're talking about, Brooke, that pressure that they have felt and put themselves under to complete the task. So these are people who weren't talking about incompleting tasks. They were still completing their task, but it was like up to the minute before it was due, something along that line. And that pressure just really enhanced their ability to be more creative and more focused, like you were saying. And to me, that's brilliant work. It's just brilliant on the ability to create that. Somehow we know we need that pressure. Oops, I'm echoing. Is that better?
Yeah.
That we needed to create that pressure so that we just get out our own way. Just move out of the way. Let's just do the work. concept.
I mean, I have a couple questions. There's a question I really want to come back to, and I'm just going to say it out loud before now so we don't forget, is can we plan procrastination? But before we get there, one of the things I want to say is, like, the reality is we can't do everything at the same time. And nobody is just working on one thing at a time. We're not, I mean, we might just have one major project, but there's always the daily tasks we have to do, all these little things that also come in. So what is the line between scheduling yourself and, like, going, okay, I don't have time for that right now. Like, there are certain things that will stress me out. Like, if I know certain data or statistics, like, about sales or about things like that, there are certain times I will look at them and certain times I will not. Because if it's Friday at the end of the day and I'm going into my weekend, I'm not going to go dig into analytics and stats right then, because then I'm going to cause myself a whole bunch of stress. I'm going to worry about it over the weekend. I'm going to want to work. And so I make a point not to, like, Anthony once tried to tell me, and I was like, don't you dare. I want to be.
I was trying to celebrate too.
Yeah, I was like, I don't tell me anything. I want to be able to relax. I don't want to be lost in that thinking about it. And that's what will happen. So it was like a hard boundary. Could feel like procrastinating, right? Because whether or not I know it's celebrating, if it's important, you know what I mean? I don't know. But at the same time, for me, it's setting boundaries and prioritizing and knowing what my brain can handle and when. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. And I actually, it's got me thinking, Brooke, I wonder if a lot of things that we do, it could be a strategy that is serving us. And yet the self-talk about it might be, oh, I procrastinated again. But, like, maybe that's not what it is.
I had a client.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a client that was what we worked. She was like, I want to work with you on my procrastination. Mm-hmm. And she was like, it's nothing specific, but she was like, I just know myself. I will get a speaking gig and I'll wait until the last minute to write for it. I wait, but I have always been successful. Mm-hmm. And I have never not been successful. But I feel like I shouldn't be procrastinating and I should be doing it, planning this stuff in advance, and I should be working on these things in advance. And I wonder if I could do a better job, or if it would be, or if my success comes from procrastinating. And that's, I mean, a lot of what we worked on was figuring out, well, one, if she didn't want to procrastinate, what the plan would be, but also her reframing how she felt about herself and that procrastination.
So honestly, that's what most of the coaching that is entailing is people who recognize their procrastination and the stigma that we've attached to that word, and the concept of waiting to get something done definitely creates a curiosity point in the sense of self-check, self-esteem, self, all of those self concepts. And then, like, your client probably came down to the wire that served her, that procrastination served her because she's able to be more creative.
So Ronnie in the comments sort of brings this point up as well. If a client thrives under pressure and it's not a problem, then it's not something they would bring up. It's something they might not bring up in a coaching over to you stop. So they might procrastinate, but it might not ever come up in a coaching session. You're putting off something unwantingly. If you prioritize and schedule something, then it's planned and not unwantingly resisted. Planning and executing when planned is the opposite of procrastination. So I want to touch on that point on how you can plan procrastination. And then she adds, not meeting a deadline has a consequence. Clients are obviously not liking the consequence, or they risk the consequence. The stress that results in failure. So I want to sort of touch back and go into how you plan procrastination. And
I can tell you, we do as a company, like as a company, and this comes from personal art, both Lisa and my experience with how things go and people and humans. And it's also one of the things I was taught when I was a contractor and I had deadlines with my clients. They'd say, well, when can this be done? And at first you say, oh, look at these splits. We're done in 2 weeks. No big deal. And then you quickly learn that, oh crap, there's so many things that I don't account for. And then there's the procrastinating. And so then I would always go, okay, I think it's going to be 2. I give them 4. I'm going to just double whatever timeline I think I can do it in. I'm going to double that timeline.
So do you know what that practice is called?
Being smart.
No. this came up in the classes I was taking for project management, but it's called float. And it's essentially the buffer you give yourself in completing a task, where instead of saying, okay, I know I can do this task in, let's say, an hour, so I'm going to set aside an hour to do it, and then you start procrastinating, you keep on pushing it back and it causes you stress. You instead tell yourself, I'm going to give myself a whole day to get this done. I know it takes an hour to do, but it needs to be done sometime today. And you create that float of an extra 23 hours, essentially, so that you can plan your procrastination, essentially. And when you're looking in the scope of bigger projects or bigger goals, for milestones you want to hit, you add extra float. So you can add on days or weeks to complete a task instead of, however long it actually takes for you to get the task done.
I will say, though, one big thing that we need to mention in this is that, I mean, in the big, broad world scheme of things, when we look at deadlines, we look at hard and fast deadlines, even if we look at them as a company, ultimately, we are creating our own deadlines, our own stress. We are setting the rules, especially in this company. I mean, at least Lisa, myself, Anthony, I'm sure at times, we will often set we want it done by now. But there's nobody that's going to come storming through our door and arrest us and, or drain our bank account. Or there's not some hard and fast, crazy consequence of not hitting these deadlines. Where my devil's advocate or what have you or will come in sometimes, though, is well, I can push out even with a float. And I kind of will know that and sometimes be my own worst enemy. Which is this amazing thing about accountability, right? That's where this big piece of accountability comes in. And when you speak out loud your intentions and set actual deadlines and time limitations on your intentions and share them with other people, there's all of a sudden this additional accountability that comes in. So if I, in a staff meeting, say, okay, we're going to get Bitwarden done, I'm saying it out loud, I'm going to, by X and X time, now I have other people that I can call me out on it if I don't. Right,
those of you who are also in the audience, Bitwarden is just some software.
Yeah, it's just something we're integrating that I said I'd have done last Wednesday, and I still don't have it done.
So here's
on this. I bet everyone procrastinated on Bitwarden, except for Joe.
So I set it up like immediately, but that part was the easy part. It's the transferring everything. I'm like, I'm not even clear, right? So it's the pieces that aren't easy that I have already decided weren't easy. It could be very well easy, and I'm part of me knows me in a way that I have to give my breathe, find that breath, and then just dive in. And it usually comes together in a nice way. However, I haven't found that breath yet. And I know we have a deadline. And so the stress, I do feel the stress. But in the end, I go, well, my passwords are not part of any of those passwords. So it doesn't matter. Nanner, nanner, nanner. But I still, I know it's a good idea. I know it's part of the system. I know it's going to benefit me in the long run and us as a culture. I just haven't got my head wrapped around of getting in there and doing the rest of the work.
So this brings up a point on basically motivations, and I think.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask for this space.
What?
Do you guys do boring, like, do you have trouble doing boring things, like, or do you just do them, like, rip the Band-Aid off and do them? Because, like, I have ADHD, so, like, I know big side effect of ADHD is one of the things they talk about is we have difficulty repeating, like, doing boring tasks. Mm-hmm. And it seems like an arbitrary question, like, something everybody knows, but I have a hard time, like, I know that's a side effect of ADHD, but do you... non-ADHD, non-neurodivergent folks have the same problem? Because it's so drilled into my head that it's something ADHD related, but is it also, I mean, I think it's everybody related.
I think it's an everybody related kind of thing. And part of it, and I know Anthony wants to make a point about something. I think part of it for me is knowing when to do those mundane tasks when I best can do them, versus when I can. So morning is going to be for me mundane, more ability to do more mundane, like, you know, those damn taxes I was talking about. I'll have a tendency to do it then. As far as creative, that can be also stressful with, so I don't see any difference, honestly. Just I know when I tend to do creative versus mundane. I think that's it. You were going to say, I haven't forgotten you.
Oh, no, I was going to answer Brooke's question instead. Yeah. About boring tasks. I think there's some boring tasks that I do enjoy. Some like really tedious tasks that I just find enjoyable for some reason. And I'll choose to do those first rather than more spontaneous or creative tasks that require maybe a degree of research and testing, and that's the kind of stuff that I find tedious that I will procrastinate, is I have to implement something and then test it and then revise it and then test it again, and that kind of process sucks and I put that off. If it's a tedious task, like I don't want to give two specific examples as far as our workplace goes, but there's some tedious tasks that just, like, I know how to do them, they're like clockwork, I'll try to get them done as soon as possible, so I can clear the rest of my day to, you know, mess around and eventually get to the more complicated projects. So I think people's idea of maybe boring is...
It varies, yeah.
It varies, because some of the boring stuff I'll just do immediately. But I find other things boring that are also difficult or tedious, and I'll avoid that. Ronnie added, mundane is often easier because it is productive. That's true.
You feel better, so it can help you procrastinate on the harder thing, like the bigger you're like, oh, I'm being productive, and that's what they, I mean, honestly, when we say productive procrastination, that's the first definition of what you're gonna get, is that well, I'm gonna do all these little minuscule bbdbdbd things, and that's serious ADHD to the nth degree, where you've got 50 projects going on but you haven't completed any of them because they were all more interesting than doing the one thing that you really need to do. And that you don't want to do or get started on. But I think, again, to be fair, and this is one of the things that in that video we watched that we're leaving out, is sometimes, though, we need some time to think about it, those harder things, and to come up with our plan. And we do that in our head, and we will do mundane tasks while we are thinking about it. And so it is sort of a part of that process. That's when I think what appears to be procrastination can be part of that process. I know when I'm doing mundane things, I'm either, if the TV's on, it's one thing, but I'll do mundane things with the TV off, and my brain isn't thinking about what I'm doing. It's thinking about other things. And that's a lot. That's just like driving or being in the shower, or you get these like really cool creative bursts, or like, oh, that's how I'm going to do that. Or what? And those come when I'm doing sort of that productive procrastinating, that those tasks that I'm like aren't so brain intensive, but I'm able to sort of think about them and plan for them while I'm doing the mundane things.
So to revisit sort of the point I was trying to make earlier, my question is, how do we turn productive procrastination, that's all fine and good, we're getting a bunch of benefits from procrastinating, how do we turn that into actual action? Because Brooke, you mentioned like when you set your own deadlines, there's not a boss that's about to fire you from your job. Your accountability, whoever is holding you accountable, like even if you have a life coach, they're not really your accountability partner. And even if you have an accountability partner who like that's their job, they're not going to fire you or kill you or, you know, drain your bank account. So the consequences are a bit more intangible. Whereas if I had a job and I procrastinated, there can be some serious tangible consequences for not completing a task and procrastinating to the point where it doesn't get done. How does somebody who has goals, has projects, they're self-motivated, finally turn procrastination into an engine to create action?
So like that day before, many people are waiting to the day before for completing, what allows them to tap into that juice that gets the job done? Is that's kind of what you're asking?
Pretty much. And when the consequences are intangible, essentially, they're not immediate, and maybe even the benefits are.
Yeah, you're asking a big question that needs a lot of thought. But I think everybody else will have their own answers. But I think there are answers in this, and the concept is very cool. And I want to use and play with it a bit. When we're talking about, how do we build procrastination into our process, pretty much, right? Like, how do we reap the benefits of procrastination? Mm-hmm. So that's where I said, if it's more personal. So if we take my examples of like, well, when I'm under the gun, right, I can't second guess myself. So I make quick and decisive choices. So how do I make quick and decisive choices without the pressure of being under the gun? Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of how I would break it down. Well, how do I do that in decisive choices? Well, I would then say, then if that's the result I want, then I will set rules for myself so that I can have that outcome. And this is something I do. So then I'm only allowed to make changes on something up until a point, and I'll set like a tangible, or I'm only, if it's a design thing, I can only edit this thing until this moment, that's it, leave it alone, boom, unless somebody says something, I'm not allowed to go back. Like, I have to set rules. Or we're just gonna rip the band-aid off, run with this, we're making the decision. I'm making the decision now, and we'll live with the consequences. And sort of, it's just, I would break it down. Okay, well, what are the tangible benefits? So these are the tangible benefits. Okay, how do I get those tangible benefits without the pressure of time? That's the sort of micro, if we're looking at it on a micro level, that like little short-term result. If I take that and open it up to what's scary for me, I guess where I get lost and where I don't connect with the thought, or I don't know how to, is I think of like big thing idea sort of concepts that I would like to do that I have not started. Or like last year, I'm going to stream. I'm going to stream until the end of the year. At the end of the year, I'm going to readdress, see how I feel about it. And then this year, I probably will want to focus on something else and see in my life and do that until, you know, I'm done with it or you know, I've got the benefits or, and then I want to try the next thing. And that's just sort of how I operate. So I'll set time periods for myself where I'm allowing myself to do things. But there are things that I have not started. And so I wonder, am I procrastinating on those things, or am I just saving them until later? And how do I get myself to move from a place of not working on them to working on them? And do I even want to? And so that's where it's like this, when we're talking about these bigger concepts of which I think we as life coaches, it's something we deal with our clients, where they come in and they go, well, I want to do all these things, but I haven't pulled the trigger on any of it. Are they procrastinating? Or is it just they weren't ready? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that is a good distinction to make. I my opinion on this is that you can't procrastinate until there's a deadline. If there's not a deadline and you're not doing something, then like it's just this like floating thought of maybe I'll do this. It could be just as good as anything else. I don't really count that as something to even consider. But once there's a deadline, then procrastination can happen. Then there's like you're under the gun, which I think a lot of coaches need to get into the habit of. If you're coaching somebody and you're creating a goal or there's a, something that the client is going to do outside the session, you ask, when are you going to do this? When is this going to happen? And just getting the client to give you a day, a time, or a time span of when it's going to be done creates a little bit of accountability. The coach isn't holding the person responsible, but now you have a deadline. Now the client can either choose to procrastinate, do the thing that needs to be done, or not do the thing that needs to be done, and then you could talk about what got in the way.
So another tangible, like what you're describing there, is thinking of couples in this moment that they agree to go home and whatever their homework they assigned themselves, and then they came back and haven't done it. It can create another avenue of discussion to find out what prevents them from doing that. You know, I had one couple, oh, several couples actually, that when it came down to the fact is that they were done with the relationship, but hadn't quite shared that with their partner. They were just waiting for the right time. They weren't willing to put in that extra time with them. So that became a different experience from that point. You know, that them assigning themselves, you know, to hold hands when they weren't willing to even consider being in the relationship was not appropriate. But they hadn't felt whatever, safe enough, trusting the moment, ready to, you know, yank that cord, whatever that story is, until they felt the pressure of them not doing the homework was more intense to share why they didn't do that homework. So the reality of what they were there to work on changed.
So then maybe in procrastinating, you discover what your actual priorities are.
What your actual priorities are. Yeah.
Yeah.
True story.
Yeah.
I will also, what's interesting is you said that you can't procrastinate unless there's a deadline, but we all have a deadline. We are all going to die.
Right? So, there is an expiration date. That's true.
Our ability to do things is going to come to an end. Right. And I used to much more suffer from what I would call a ticking clock, where I felt like there was always this tick, 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 time is running out, time is running out, time is running out. And I think that that was also, now that I look at that and think about it, I still have it to some degree. It will still come up now and again. But for a lot of it, my life now, I think that came from a place of me not being at peace and settled and happy with my life in the moment. And I think that now that I'm a person that is much more at peace with my life at the in this moment, that clock is not as prevalent for me. I'm okay, you know, and I think that that's a great thing. I also wonder and worry sometimes, does not having it make me less productive? Like, am I like not going to get as much done with my life? Like, not accomplish as much because I am happy? Like, you know what I mean? Because I am at peace, should I be creating unrest and stress in my life?
Could coach with other clients, they're going to die.
I will do so much about, like, so I've gotten so much in the habit now of saying no to a lot of things. Because my peace of mind is so important. Now that I have it, I love it and I don't want to get rid of it. Like, it's fantastic. It's love. I mean, I don't not have stressing at night and running things through. Oh my God. I don't want to lose that. So now I'm scared to say yes to something. I used to be the say yes girl. And so like, but does that mean that I'm not going to accomplish it? But I think I'm okay with that too, because I am still, but I'm just doing it on my terms and at my pace. If that makes sense.
Yeah, in that case, you're never procrastinating because everything you do is on your terms and on your time.
And I think that's true of people. My dad, he's always like, people are always doing exactly what they want. And I was like, what? I mean, he likes to make bold statements like this. Or people are also always doing what they most want to do in that moment. And then he would expound. And I'm like, well, you know, what if it's a person that's like, you know, they're just contented and sitting on the couch and they ultimately don't want to gain weight. And just eating and they're not, you know, whatever. And he's like, well, that is what they want to do most right now in that moment. Like that is, that's why they're doing it earlier, they're going to keep doing it until they are so miserable doing it that they get up and change something. And he's like, so we're just always doing the thing we want to do most until it becomes so uncomfortable that we decide to try to do something. I was like, well, that's a very kind of, I don't know if it's pessimistic, but it's an interesting way.
This is what I said earlier in the live, is that you procrastinate because you don't want to do the things that you tell yourself that you're going to do. You might want the end result. Right. It'd be nice to be in this nice, you know, place where you have whatever you want at the snap of your fingers, but you're not going to do that because you don't want to do the things that are required to get there. So you're ultimately always going to want to do or going to be doing what you want to do. And if what you want to do is procrastinate and not do that thing, that's what you're going to do.
I will say though, so like if I think about who I was a year and 3 months ago, and I was somebody who, I wasn't working out. I wasn't nearly as active as I am now. I also wasn't 100% comfortable in my own skin. I'm still not 100%. I'm still getting there. But like, I was not as happy with myself as physically and health-wise. I was actually worried about a lot of things health-wise because I hadn't gone to the doctor. I hadn't seen, and I knew there was big things. So I said, next year, my focus is going to be on my health and I'm going to take care of my health. And Brooke in January, who said that, wanted instant results, right? And didn't know how to get them and didn't always love what I was doing to do it. But my goal, I guess the thing that made me stay on that path, there's a few things. Big part of it was finding a way to enjoy the changes I had to make and not making changes that were painful and miserable and difficult. Like when I found a place to work out, I enjoyed working out and being at and a kind of workout that I really enjoyed. It didn't make it work anymore. It made it something I wanted to do and could continue to do. When I found a way to eat and like that, like food delivery and all of that, that made it easy for me and still tasted good and still is something I enjoyed, it made it wasn't work. And I think that we go into these things thinking, and then some of it was fear. Like some of it was like, okay, I've got to go see a doctor and find out what's going wrong with my body. And that was scary. And the I've got to take these steps wasn't always easy. That part sucked. And I'm not going to say I enjoyed going to the emergency room. I'm not going to say, but what I did enjoy was finding answers. It made it less scary. But a big part, sometimes that is eating the toad. Like that is like, you just got to rip the Band-Aid off and do, being able to make the things that I thought would be miserable or hard fun made it so much easier to keep it going. And I think that a lot of times we think we like try to do things in ways that maybe don't work for us or fit our personality because it's the way everybody else has to. But if there's a way to love the process, it makes the process really so much easier to do. And you don't procrastinate because you're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But I did a lot of procrastinating until I finally started to take those steps. Not going to lie.
That's so weird. What's that word, Jen, that we were saying we like? The
Boujade.
That's it. It's that a lot of the times it's that Boujade. What is that? Boujade, you know, is taking something that's familiar that you really attempt or look at like you're not as familiar with it so that you have fresh eyes, fresh experience. And I think a lot of what you were sharing there kind of reminded me of that word, which is kind of a fun word to say, but it reminded me on your ability to take that, which could be mundane chore-like, and have a new association with it. And that is definitely what we're doing with our clients, helping them find their fun in those changes that they're wanting to make. A new association allows for new patterns to be created. It allows for the commitment to last. It allows for self-accountability, not even coach's accountability, but self-accountability. Because if you're having fun with it, what's not to...
There's a psychologist that talks about that. She doesn't like working out. And so she's like, but this is what I have a favorite podcast. And I know Anthony's even used this tool. And she's all, I will not let myself listen to that podcast unless I am working out. So now my positive association of this podcast, I have to be working out to listen to this podcast. And so I look forward to it because I get to listen to my favorite podcast, even though I'm doing something I really don't want to do or I'm not enjoying. But now what has happened is this positive association is being attached to maybe something that is less than enjoyable. I do that with cleaning. I hate cleaning. I hate it. I really do. But I will put on something I really want to watch or I'm excited to watch. And then now, okay, I don't watch much TV. Well, I'm going to let myself watch this really, you know, indulgent true crime series right now. And I'll put that on. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to clean all day because I got to get through this. And this is awesome. But
it's funny you say that because the opposite could happen. It's where you end up hating the podcast.
Or
the TV show associated with cleaning.
So what we're talking about adding, Anthony, we don't need to switch him.
Cheat code, Jerome, going towards that.
Pleasure or avoiding pain. So that's what we're talking about adding when we're doing these different kinds of motivational things that keep us attached to what we want to accomplish. So go back, put Anthony back.
Jerome, I want you to share what you just said.
I'm done.
So I can say with if a task is mundane enough for me to be able to put music on and still be able to concentrate, I'm gonna probably gravitate towards getting that done because music is it's my cheat code, and if I can add that as a part of the process when it comes listening to music as a part of the process when it comes to completing a task, it becomes so much more fun to me because I've got pretty much an unbound amount of music that I can enjoy in life. So it gives me the opportunity to go ahead and just open up Spotify, go through a few songs, click through maybe a few particular genres, and then it just helps with whatever task that goes for task when it comes to just like working. And then also the gym, that's maybe not necessarily too mundane, but it gives me that added motivation for me to want to go to the gym because I'm like, I'm not just going to, you know, feel good after this. I'm also going to get to do something I really enjoy doing, which is listening to music. So
I love the idea of it being a cheat code, like finding your cheat code. Like, what is my, I want to be this and accomplish this. Cause it's for, I play video games, but like, it's when you're playing video games, you get to points where like, I can't do it. And you get a cheat code and all of a sudden it's easy. And so like, it's literally like trying to figure out what are my cheat codes to get to be more successful? What do I have to do to be more successful? And I love the really, for me, that's an awesome analogy. I love that. I'm going to use that.
We could do productive 101 find your cheat code.
I think we're out of time.
We are.
Yeah, that's it. Do you have any final words?
Are you sure you don't want to procrastinate the end of this live stream?
No.
Okay. I like from listening to you, the question of how can I make this fun is just like, I mean, that's the question. How can I make this fun? Whatever it is, that changes everything. Love it.
Yeah.
All right. I don't have anything. We'll wrap it up then. We don't need to have final thoughts. We just end it. Thank you guys for watching. Ronnie, thank you for participating.
Ronnie.
CLCI Live every single Tuesday, 4 p.m. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, comment. Take our classes if you haven't taken our classes. Stop procrastinating. Take 101, 102.
They're fun.
They're so fun.
We will see you guys next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Once again, this is brought to you by Certified Life Coach Institute. We are an ICF-accredited school who certifies our life coaches in three-day online intensive courses. In addition to other podcast episodes, feel free to check us out every Tuesday at 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time on YouTube or Facebook for our CLCI Lives, where we get together and discuss various topics that are centered around sharpening your skills so you can become a better certified life coach. For more information, feel free to visit us at CertifiedLifeCoachInstitute.com. Until next time, be well.